And do you remember what we discussed this time last week? For those who don't remember, we was in Acts chapter 5, at verse 29, if I remember right. We're looking at the apostles and that great statement that was made there. And we discussed that the apostles, in answering before the council, that they were of one mind. We also went on to say that they took a stand. And last of all, we drew the conclusion from that passage that they sought to please God rather than men. And therefore, what we saw there in that passage is men, Christians there, who was at their very best and been faithful unto God. And I ask again, do you remember what Robin preached about 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning? About 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, when my parents was here, he preached on the judgment day. Do you remember that? I remember very well. And the conclusion of the whole matter is that he encouraged us to be faithful all the way unto death, so that on the day of judgment, we can have heaven as our home. So this evening, we're going to look at an old passage, very familiar to all of us, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Jesus' words to the church of Smyrna. Start verse number 9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And you've heard the last part of that verse, verse 10, quoted so many times. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful, be faithful. But when I look at this verse, especially the last part of the verse, it gives a good Christian view of what faithfulness is all about. A good Christian view of what faithfulness is. Well, first of all, the Christian should understand that faithfulness is not an optional thing. It's not an optional thing. That faithfulness is commanded by the scriptures. Here it says, be faithful unto death. That faithfulness, we are commanded to be faithful in serving God. And it's not a new theme through the Bible. It's an old theme. I've always liked to turn back through the pages of the Bible, all the way back to Deuteronomy. Constantly, God, dealing with the children of Israel, he would have to remind them to be faithful. You have to remind them to continue to keep the commandments. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through about 8, he says, now this is the commandment, and there are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and your sons and your grandsons all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Stop here for a moment. This wasn't a suggestion from Moses. It was a commandment they got from God. They brought to the people. He told the people that they were commanded to keep all the statutes and follow all the laws of God. And he didn't say, you know, pick out which ones you want to keep and offer them to be faithful to God. They were to keep all of them at all times. Continuing, verse number 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you house when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Moses goes on, he says to them, and keeping these laws and being faithful to God, you need to make sure you teach them to your kids. You need to have them on your heart, on your minds, you know, even have them before you. All these things would help Israel and keeping and following the commandments of God. Therefore, they would present themselves before God as faithful children. No option. As a Christian view of faithfulness, it's not something that's part-time. It's something that we do from the morning we rise up, throughout the day, and the next day, and the next day. And one of the greatest verses that you can look at that should motivate you and motivate me is the passage I talked about last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. What Paul encouraged the brethren to be steadfast, to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that should motivate us to strive our very best to be faithful. A Christian view of faithfulness is that we are not suggested to be faithful. We're not encouraged to be faithful. We are taught and to understand that faithfulness is a commandment of God. Then on a glorious day of judgment, that if we plan to be with Christ, to be with the Father in heaven, it's going to be because he finds us faithful, that we took his commandments serious. In Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, in Paul writings to the church at Philippi, he displays a lot of love towards them, and he takes the time to encourage them to do things that are right. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse number 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Paul encouraged those at Philippi to be faithful, to be steadfast, to be of one mind, striving for the gospel. Hopefully we will have an understanding that, first of all, that Christian view of faithfulness is that we must understand that we are commanded to be faithful. And secondly, I have 4 points, so I got to move on. I got about 4 points. I'm counting to four this evening, okay? I'm going beyond my abilities, okay? Point number two is that when a Christian stops and he thinks about faithfulness, faithfulness is a personal decision. Faithfulness is a personal decision. And you go back to Revelation chapter 2, said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Faithfulness is a personal decision in the sense that no one in here can be faithful for me. No one in here can obey the gospel for anyone else. No one else in here can live a faithful life for the next person. Faithfulness is a personal decision. You, myself, and each person that live here has to decide that they're going to obey the gospel, have to decide that they're going to live by the gospel and follow the words of God. But see, faithfulness is a personal decision. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua and Joshua chapter 1 has has been given the task of leading God's people. From time to time, Moses had a problem with God's people, being disobedient, being stiff-necked, turning away from the words of God, being very rebellious. Joshua, as he takes over the leadership of God's people, he too finds out along the way, from time to time, God's people became very rebellious. They begin to follow the world. They begin to follow those around them. So in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua gathered all the people together at Shechem. And he makes this great speech to the people. We'll pick up at verse 15. "And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelled in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." One thing you see here is that Joshua could not make a decision for the rest of the people. Joshua spoke for himself and for his family. Joshua said, "We have decided we're going to serve God regardless. Regardless of which way you are going to go, we're going to serve God. We're going to be faithful to God." He couldn't make a decision for all those people who were there with him. They had to hear what he had to say, and they had to draw a conclusion and make up their mind whether they was going to serve God, whether they was going to be faithful. But see, faithfulness is a personal decision. I can't make up your mind as to live faithful, and you can't make up my mind as to live faithful. I can encourage you. You can encourage me. You can come and hear messages. We can sit down and study from the Bible. We can read. We can pray for each other. Now, all those things hopefully will encourage you and encourage me to live faithful. But when it all comes down to it, you have to decide whether you're going to live faithful or not. A true Christian view of faithfulness is that it's a personal decision that you have to face and decide what you're going to do. You know, you hear people say, "Well, that young man got a job working for that company. Or that young man got a job or position over here because of his father. You know, his father worked there. Or his father, you know, he's a big person there. He's very influential in that company. That's how he got that job. Not because he deserves it." It is so different when it comes to Christianity. Whether my father is faithful or not, whether your father was faithful or not, whether your mother was faithful or not, you still have to live a faithful life for yourself, following the scriptures. Faithful view. A Christian view on faithfulness is to understand that faithfulness is a personal decision, responsibility for each and every person. Oh, let's go way back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse number 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. You know, Noah lived amongst all those people. The very people that has been described there from verse 5 going down. People who constantly revolved in things that were sinful and wicked. But the Bible says that Noah, he was a just man, perfect man, blameless, man of integrity, man who walked with God, indicating that he was obedient to God's word. Did the things that God required of him. He lived faithful before God. Noah had the choice. He chose to live faithful. Serving God. No one else could have made that decision for Noah. And Noah couldn't make the decision for the other people. I'm quite sure Noah was concerned about the people. The Bible teaches that Noah taught the people. He tried to get them to understand that the world would one day be destroyed by water. Instead, they wouldn't listen. Do you think Noah rejoiced in seeing all those people being destroyed? I doubt he did. But the point is that Noah could not make the decision for the people. Faithfulness of those people who have been based upon them making a choice. And they chose not to be faithful. They chose not to walk with God as Noah did. And as a Christian, hopefully, we view and understand faithfulness as a personal decision. Each member of the Lord's church has to come to the conclusion and make the decision that I'm going to live faithful. Regardless of what my mother does, regardless of what my father does, regardless of what my husband or wife does, I'm going to live faithful. And I'm going to live faithful for myself. And along the way, I'm going to try to encourage others. Thirdly, when the Christian should think about faithfulness and viewing it, he or she should view it in the sense of Revelation 2:10, unto death. Unto death. Faithfulness is unto death. Which indicate to me that there are no furloughs from faithfulness. That there's no layoffs from faithfulness. That there's no vacations from being faithful. If I take a vacation, go to Florida, take a vacation, go to California, New York, or wherever the case may be, you and I, we are still to live faithful as Christians. Christians should understand that. Faithful unto death. Those who these writings was going to, they were to be faithful unto death. Even through trials and tribulation in the church of Smyrna, they were to be faithful to death. As you look at Acts chapter 21, we find a good example there of one who was determined he was going to serve God and be faithful regardless. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, we'll start at verse number 10. Number 9, we find Agabus the prophet. He comes in, start at verse number 9. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Look at the determination Paul had. Paul had the determination to be faithful unto God regardless. He says, "Even if death is waiting for me in Jerusalem, I'm going to go ahead." He was going to go there. He was going to preach and teach the gospel regardless. He understood what it meant to be faithful unto death. There's another example in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, you find Stephen preaching. Start at verse number 51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here's Stephen. He's preaching the gospel. He's standing before the Jews, all their leaders. He referred to them as stiff-necked, as being stubborn. He referred to them as being betrayers, as murderers. They got upset. One would think, "Well, you know, Stephen, it's time for you to stop this preaching and move on." But he continues, even to the point at which they charged him, they took him, and they murdered him. He was determined to be faithful in serving God, even unto death. The Christian view of faithfulness is to have an understanding that we are to be faithful even unto death. Fourthly, and last, as you go back and you look at the very last part of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "I will give you the crown of life." There's light in the tunnel. Here it teaches that faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded. Even sometimes it may seem really hard to be faithful in serving God. There may be times when people may laugh at you and say that your ideas and your way of thinking is old-fashioned. There's time you cast the Bible out. There's time you step up and get along with the rest of society. It's 2009. There may be a time when people may say, the Bible just doesn't apply to these ages. There may be a time when people may laugh at what you believe in. But we know and we understand if we continue to follow what we find in the scripture and continue to be faithful, we shall be rewarded. See, there is light at the end of the tunnel. James says in James chapter 1, James chapter 1. James 1, start verse number 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. How encouraging. How encouraging it is. These words should be encouraging to you and I, the Christian, to live faithful. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has the approval of God, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. And we know whatever God promises, he cannot and will not fall short of it. Be you faithful unto death, shall receive a crown of life. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, starting at verse number 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'll fought the good fight. I'll finish the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. How encouraging. Paul's words to Timothy. How encouraging. Paul says that he's been faithful. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He's been faithful. And he has confidence here of being rewarded at the very end, on the day of judgment. A Christian view of faithfulness is if he or she remains faithful on that glorious day, faithfulness is rewarded. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, the very encouraging words from Jesus to his disciples. He says, so at verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. How encouraging these words must have been to the disciples, which would face some hard times along the way. Some would lose their life in the service unto God. But these would be encouraging words that if they would remain faithful and die faithful, they would be rewarded for faithfulness. Maybe from time to time, you and I should look at these words and maybe they could help us, encourage us to remain faithful, that there is a place waiting for you and I that God has prepared for us, which is heaven. We shall be rewarded for our faithfulness. A Christian view of faithfulness is that he or she has an understanding that being faithful, it's going to pay off at the end because God is faithful with his promises. So as we conclude, faithfulness, and as a Christian view faithfulness, he must understand that it's commanded. Secondly, the Christian must have an understanding that faithfulness is a personal decision. I can't be faithful for you and you can't be faithful for me. Each and every person must live a faithful life according to scriptures. Thirdly, must understand that faithfulness is unto death. Not part-time, not casually, but all the way. Fourth and last, Christian must have an understanding that faithfulness is worth it. We're going to be rewarded on that glorious day when Jesus returns. The question will be asked, as a Christian, what sin is in your life that's keeping you from living faithful? If there is sin in your life that's keeping you from living faithful, you are encouraged and commanded by scriptures to repent of it, to turn away from it, to leave it behind. If you need to do so, please do so. If you're here and you're not a Christian, stand before God, unfaithful, unsaved, in a very horrible situation. But it doesn't have to remain that way. I try to get people to understand, if you come through this door unsaved, in a condemned state, you don't have to leave that way. You can change. You can obey the gospel. The Bible says to hear, to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, washing your sins away and leaving out of that door in a saved state. How long did you keep putting it off? Why don't you make the right decision so you can be faithful in serving God and you can receive that reward on that glorious day? Let's sing.